If you want the future, you must fight
for
it.
Who, according to Travis County jail records, has an Immigration and Naturalization Service detainer on him, was armed with a rifle, and began shooting at random targets driving on Interstate 35. His rampage injured four, including critically injuring a seven-year-old girl. This isn't an isolated incident. Catherine Steinle was randomly targeted by an illegal on a San Francisco pier.
Kate loved to travel, spend time with her friends, and most of all, spend time with her family. In fact, the day she was killed, we were walking arm in arm on Pier 14 in San Francisco, enjoying a wonderful day together. Suddenly, a shot rang out. Kate fell and looked at me and said, "Help me, Dad." Those are the last words I will ever hear from my daughter. Everywhere Kate went throughout the world, she shined the light of a good citizen of the United States of America. Unfortunately, due to disjointed laws and basic incompetence on many levels, the U.S. has suffered a self-inflicted wound in the murder of our daughter by the hand of a person that should have never been on the streets of this country. I say this because the alleged murderer is an undocumented immigrant who has been convicted of seven felonies in the U.S. and already deported five times. Yet in March of this year, he was released from jail and allowed to stay here freely because of those legal loopholes.
And Spencer Gulvich was randomly killed in cold blood by an illegal in Houston in 2015. Not to mention that Fox News reported back in March of 2016 that as many as 7,500 Americans, 20 per day, are killed annually by unlicensed drivers. And Don Rosenberg, father of Drew Rosenberg, who was killed by an illegal, calculates that more than half are the victims of illegal immigrants on his nonprofit website, Unlicensed to Drive. He may be soft on pursuing the crimes of Hillary Clinton, but Attorney General Jeff Sessions made immigration law clear.
For decades, the American people have been begging and pleading with our elected officials for an immigration system that's lawful and serves the national interest. Under the previous administration, the federal government began releasing illegal aliens who claimed to be afraid to return to their countries. Unsurprisingly, the number of these claims skyrocketed nearly 20-fold in 8 years, from 5,000 in 2009 to 94,000 last year. After their release, many of these people simply disappear, do not show back up for court. It's too easy to defraud our system right now, and the President Trump's policies will fix that. His plans to close the loopholes will stop the incentive for false asylum claims. And the president is also confronting the state and local jurisdictions that have undertaken to undo our immigration laws through so-called sanctuary policies.
Austin, Texas is in the eye of the hurricane when it comes to the fight over banning sanctuary cities. Senate Bill 4 allowed police to question people over their immigration status and for police to honor ICE requests to hold inmates suspected of being in the country illegally. However, Austin and San Antonio sued the state over the law. Left-leaning Travis County Sheriff Sally Hernandez has made it abundantly clear that she cares more for her politics than protecting the community. The Austin Chronicle reported on September 25th, the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals partially rolled back a lower court's ruling on the so-called sanctuary cities law. Hernandez said the ruling resulted in a sick, sinking feeling in her stomach that she says continues to linger. She said, "I don't like the change any more than any of you do." Speaking for her leftist base, the left would have strict gun laws, yet allow a wild west of criminal aliens to murder us in broad daylight in our tax-paying communities. How many Americans need to be randomly shot for the left to understand that they are dead wrong? John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
is the War Room.
Welcome into the War Room. This is the final live broadcast of the American Rebirth and Renaissance 34-hour broadcast special. We thank all of you for being here with us for the ride through the late hours of the night, the early hours of the morning, and everything in between. You guys make it all possible. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We will be joined by Roger Stone in the 4 o'clock central hour. That's the second hour. Stephanie Hamill will be my guest in the third hour, the 5 o'clock central hour. I've got a ton of video reports that I want to get to as well. Plenty of news to cover today, but I want to open the phone lines right out of the gates here. Specifically, I want to talk about how much credit should we be giving all of these accusations that are now coming out on anyone. I mean, everyone is pointing fingers at anyone. You raped me. You harassed me. You did this to me. You touched me then. You touched me here. You did this. You did that. It's this. It's who. It's him. It's when. It's why. I mean, now you can just accuse someone and it gets reported as fact. You know, no trial, no court, no anything. So, this is not exactly a path that we want to go down. And you're seeing this more every day. I mean, what am I supposed to believe here? Five women say Louis C.K. crossed the line. Okay, is it true? You know, who am I supposed to trust on this deal? Kevin Spacey now losing movie roles. He got House of Cards canceled. Again, I'm not standing up for Kevin Spacey's character. The guy's probably a creepo based on all the evidence. But are we going to give the guy his day in court? Or is it just accuse, character assassinate, and then just kind of wanders off into the abyss there? Corey Feldman says he's living in fear after talking to police about sexual abuse claims. I also heard that he had dropped the first name. Oh, what was the guy's name? Guys, look that up. Corey Feldman, I think, named the first name of Hollywood executives that he was going to be accusing of pedophilia. He hinted at Charlie Sheen with Corey Haim. But I read a story that he actually named names. I think that was early this morning, or one name. Well, I'm gonna try to find that. So what else do we have here? You've got all that going on. I want to take your calls. Oh, here we go. This is from Fox News. John Grissom. That was it. Yeah, Grissom. So Corey Feldman has dropped the first name in his pedo-gate outing, if you will. John Grissom. So again, I'm all for cleaning up the corruption, and I really don't care, but if there's pedophilia going on and there's kids being abused, obviously that's a serious issue. Now, if Ashley Judd wants to wave her little fanny in front of Harvey Weinstein for a movie role and then complain about it, 10 years later, okay, that's a totally separate issue that maybe needs to be dealt with internally with the culture of Hollywood. But now you can just say, oh, Louis C.K. looked at me wrong in a nightclub 5 years ago. Oh, and it's like, well, wait a second now. I don't want to be on the other side of that. I don't want to just have an open playing field for anyone just to accuse you and then the media reports on it and then the public accepts it as fact and you can be totally character assassinated before any day in court. And again, you're not really seeing or hearing about too much litigation in these cases. I mean, very, very seldomly are you hearing about much litigation. I think I've heard of now 3 potential legal cases against Harvey Weinstein. LAPD looking into Corey Feldman claims. But other than that, I'm not really hearing much. Kevin Spacey is going to check himself into rehab. So what? I'm sorry, dude, but if you're diddling little kids, rehab isn't where you belong. And if those are fake claims, you ought to be litigious against those claiming it against you. Of course, again, you look at the evidence and it looks like there's probably something to that. But then you have to look at this story that breaks today. Woman says Roy Moore initiated sexual encounter when she was 14. He was 32. So I'm just supposed to believe this. You just, j'accuse. Like the old French. You just say j'accuse and you're guilty. No, that's not how this country works. So we're entering an interesting time here that will certainly go down in history depending on the way this thing pans out over time. What is going to happen with all these accusers? Will there be a day in court? Will it be a character assassination and then fly by to the next one? Will there be litigation? Will people fight back against these claims? Will it just be like, okay, this was the culture, let's move on? I don't know, but everyone's accusing everyone. We all knew the culture of Hollywood was sick, but now it's reaching new levels where you just accuse someone, the media reports it, and it's considered to be fact. So we're really teetering, I think, on shaky ground with all of these accusations that are flying around here. So we've got that going on. Plenty of other news. You know, this is the final broadcast of the Magiversary. So before I go to the phone lines, I'll get a call in here first segment, guys. This is another sign of the ultimate winning and the victories that we keep compiling here. More significant layoffs coming to ESPN. And this is actually more than they had anticipated. So we already knew that ESPN had been laying off people. We knew there was another series of cuts coming. And it turns out the cuts coming for November are going to be even larger than expected. So InfoWars is growing. InfoWars is expanding. InfoWars is doing more. ESPN is shrinking. ESPN is losing. ESPN is doing less. And that's what happens when you inject politics into sports. And when you add into that, it's liberal nonsense politics, and most sports fans are common sense minded conservatives. Well, that's a recipe for failure. More JFK assassinations record released today, over 13,000 files. We'll talk with that about Roger in the second hour, I'm sure. And then how about, I've got a liberal nonsense story you won't even believe. I'll just tease that and we'll cover it later. But then what? How about this? Army to determine if Bo Bergdahl is owed back pay for his time in captivity. Are you serious? First, this deserter deserts his squadron, costs 5 U.S. soldiers' lives in the pursuit of trying to find him, and then we also trade 5 terrorists in order to get him back. And now we're going to pay him? What kind of country is this? And they're saying he could be entitled to more than $300,000. How is Bo Bergdahl essentially getting away with murder here? Again, Bo Bergdahl deserts his post. That's a crime. It costs the Army 5 U.S. citizen lives to try to find him. We have to trade 5 terrorists to get him back. He pleads guilty. Now we have to pay him $300,000 on top of it? His father speaks perfect Pashtun? Looks like a guy that might yell Allahu Akbar and hop in a Home Depot truck? And now we have to pay him $300,000. This is absurd. That is seriously absurd. All right, so when I come back, I will take some of your phone calls. We'll delve into some of this news. I didn't even give out the phone line, and the lines are already lighting up. So we will go to your calls. This is the final broadcast in the American Rebirth and Renaissance 34-hour broadcast special. This is the Magiversary. Trump is your president. And we'll talk to you on the other side. The real patriots in the government? Where are the common sense patriots in the government? Where are the people in the United States Congress that are willing to step forward and tell it like it is? Well, one of them is Representative Matt Gaetz, and he's in Florida. And here he is saying what we all wish we could say.
We are at risk of a coup d'etat in this country if we allow an unaccountable person with no oversight to undermine the duly elected president of the United States. And I would offer that is precisely what is happening right now with the indisputable conflicts of interest that are present with Mr. Mueller and others at the Department of Justice. I join my colleague, the gentleman from Arizona, in calling for Mr. Mueller's resignation or his firing.
Moreover,
we absolutely have to see the Department of Justice appoint a special counsel to look into the Clinton Foundation, the Uranium One deal, and the Fusion GPS dossier that
yes.
I will now have the opportunity to discuss.
Yes.
I really don't know who's investigating the Uranium One deal right now. I know that in July,
Judicial Watch?
The chairman of the Judiciary Committee, along with 20
Circa
members
News?
Of the Judiciary
Info
Committee,
Wars?
Sent a letter
Roger Stone?
To Attorney General Sessions asking who would be looking into these critical questions, demanding that a special counsel be appointed to conduct a thorough review. And it is extremely disappointing that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and my fellow members have received no response from the Department of Justice as to that letter. I don't know whether the Attorney General's recusal on matters related to Russia impacts, influences, or in any way covers the Fusion GPS challenge and the incredible threat to national security raised by the Uranium One deal.
Now, every Republican in Congress should be rallying behind that speech right now. And what should be happening is there should be a fracturing because of it, so that you can identify what Republicans actually care about the truth, care about getting to the bottom of any Russian investigation, and are on the Trump agenda, and what Republicans are going to kowtow to the deep state and allow this witch hunt. I mean, Matt Gaetz said it all in that statement. Mueller should be the one to recuse himself from this investigation, not Jeff Sessions. But of course, the exact opposite happened. Now, again, Judicial Watch has filed a FOIA request to find out how much money has been spent by Robert Mueller and his probe into the Trump-Russian fake news collusion story. And you know what's going to happen. It's going to be millions and millions and millions of dollars. Our money spent on this witch hunt, this political witch hunt. So where are the Republicans in Congress standing by Matt Gaetz today? Where are the rest of the common sense, fair-minded representatives of all parties? It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent. That is a universal common sense thing that Matt Gaetz said, that the fact Mueller is investigating this when he's got his fingerprints all over Russian collusion is absurd. But this is what we deal with modern-day liberals who do not want to live in common-sense reality. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Paul in North Carolina, wants to talk about liberalism being a mental disorder. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Owen, how you doing? Big fan of the show.
Doing good. Thank you.
This is a serious question. Do you think that they actually know that they are complete mental patients?
No, you know what it is? You know what it is, honestly, Paul? And I'm just speaking from my experience. Because I would never say that I was a liberal. It's just when I was not politically informed and not politically active, I tended to have the liberal type of beliefs. Because if you look at the liberal system of beliefs, you know, it's kind of like what they say. If you're not a liberal by the age of 22, you don't have a heart. If you're not a conservative by the age of 30, you don't have a brain or a job. I'll add that caveat in there. But it's like, you want to be a good person. You want to think that everyone else is a good person. You want to think that all of these, you know, utopian lollipop guild land, you know, political ideologies can work. And when you don't study history, you don't understand that they never have worked, they never can work, they never will work. Small government is the answer. But when you're uninformed, when you're indoctrinated by the public school system and the higher education system we call state universities, they literally create a mental patient that doesn't even understand reality, that doesn't even understand the world around them. So in their minds, they're beyond reproach because they have virtue. They care. They have the common foundation of caring about. Don't you understand, Paul? You're heartless. You're senseless. You're intolerant. And that's literally how they view everything. Anyone who doesn't agree with them, that's their mindset. That's their indoctrination. That's their brainwashing. So, of course, they don't understand that they're mental patients. Of course, they're going to deny the brainwashing until they actually look it right in the face for what it is.
Agreed.
So, I would say, I don't know, like I said, I wasn't politically active. I didn't care. As soon as I started paying attention, it was a no-doubter to me. It's not even about conservative, Republican, Democrat, liberal, or anything. It's about fact, fiction, separating reality from fake news, and just understanding how modern-day, you know, events correlate with history. Anything else, Paul?
No, they just seem like mental patients that just want to kill everybody. One way or another. They just want to kill everybody.
I don't know how many times I have to say it on the show, but yes, the final means to an end to all liberal leftist policies is death, is absolutely death, 100%. That's why on November 7th, President Trump declared November 7th the national day to honor the victims of communism. 65 million people dead in the streets in the last century because of communism. I mean, what do you think is going to happen when a majority of the population, as the liberals would have it, are either gay, transvestite, banging sex robots, don't want to have kids? Okay? We die. We cease to exist. But I guess, again, in the liberal mindset, we're just a cockroach. We're just a monkey that is here killing the planet. I mean, that's all we're good for, right? We're not created in the image of God. So if you're just a death cult monkey, yeah, just die. Save the earth and die. Yeah, absolutely.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, the Trump haters took a stand yesterday and literally screamed at the sky. It was a very empowering event for them. It felt good for them to scream at the sky. But unfortunately, Trump is still president today. We're going to have more on that in a second. But first, this is a video. I actually have not seen this yet, so you're going to get a raw reaction from me here live on air. Our own Darren McBreen, I believe, found this video. This is a liberal on the internet. I don't know how Darren found this video, who apparently claims to be in touch with aliens, and the aliens have given this individual the exclusive intel that Trump has been colluding with Russia. Here is this shocking video.
If you want to call me crazy or I'm just making things up or an attention seeker, go right ahead. It's
okay,
not my
crazy
business. My job and my business is to deliver messages for the ETs. It's up to you what you do with those messages. We have 30 plus ETs in this room right now.
Oh, wow.
Okay, invisible, of course. Otherwise, everyone would be able to see them. They're going to be using my body and my voice to answer questions. 95% of all alien races have got bases in Antarctica, deep underground. Trump has interest in Americans. His only interest is gaining
Now she's really making sense.
Gaining power, gaining money, and wanting to take over the world. And this is driven by his ties to Putin and the Illuminati. I don't care what people think. I will do my job regardless of what others think of me.
Well, I've seen it all, guys. I mean, I'm going to quit supporting Trump. Probably going to leave InfoWars, leave all y'all. I mean, that's all I needed to see. Darren, I mean...
That's breaking, Owen. This is more concrete proof that there was collusion with the Russians by Donald Trump. I mean, it's right there. Even the aliens are telling the liberals.
Well, why hasn't... Where is pencil neck Adam Schiff on this? Why hasn't Schiff brought this to the Congress floor, Darren?
Maybe he hasn't seen it yet. I mean, we got to get the word out.
This
is huge. I mean, it gave me chills. Now, she said the first
You still time, seem a little shaken up. Are you okay?
Look. I might need a beer, maybe. I don't know. But I think what happened was she said the first time that she was possessed by these aliens, it scared the hell out of her. But now she's getting used to it because it's happened so many times, and they are sending her vital information.
Vital.
Oh, I'm telling you what, we need to get her on the show, and what else are they saying? I want to know all the details.
Yeah, I think that her vitals need checked, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, hey, liberalism is a mental disorder. We need to find a cure.
Find a cure.
That's right.
There's Darren McBreen. He's always, he's always taking up good causes, folks. Okay. Liberalism, find a cure. You had something else, Darren? No. Okay. He needs to, get back to me on that alien. All right. Darren's going to go do more research on the aliens communicating with us here. I love the, Trump doesn't care about Americans. Right. Okay. Speaking of liberalism being a mental disorder, here is the latest from Mark Dice. Covering the libtards freaking out on the election, the one-year anniversary of Trump being elected.
Now, there's a guy in L.A. who's San Diego, I think. Mark Dice, who's written a book called The True Story of Fake News.
Hey, yep, that's me. Thanks, Bill. But I'll tell everybody more about the book in a few minutes. Right now, I want to show everybody how countless lunatic liberals across the country spent the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump winning the 2016 election. They literally gathered into zombie hordes in major cities to, quote, scream helplessly into the sky. By the way, this is literally not a parody of what liberals did on the one-year anniversary. This is literally what they did. This is something that they actually scheduled weeks in advance. They set up Facebook groups and sent out event invites to, quote, scream helplessly at the sky on Donald Trump's election anniversary. Here's an article in Newsweek 2 weeks ago. The event is pretty much self-explanatory. On the anniversary of last year's election, thousands will flock to the Boston Common for a party fueled by despair and aggravation over the contest's winner, whom 73 million Americans voted against. This wasn't just in Boston. This was in several major cities. This administration has attacked everything about what it means to be an American. Joanna Shulman, a local activist at Cambridge who is working on organizing the event, told Newsweek, "Who wouldn't feel helpless every day? Coming together reminds us that we are not alone. We are part of an enormous community of activists who are motivated and angry, whose actions can make a difference." Of course, us normal people spent yesterday celebrating and reliving the amazing memory of Donald Trump defeating the most corrupt politician in American history. Get behind me, Satan! It has taken literally a year for reality to begin to set in to the minds of Democrats who now are fleeing the sinking ship known as Hillary's legacy. Former DNC chairman Donna Brazile is hawking her new tell-all book where she admits that the Clinton campaign rigged the primaries against Bernie Sanders, which is very interesting because during interviews when she's hawking her book, now she is contradicting what she wrote in her own book.
First of all, I never used the word rigged in my book. I said that I used the word cancer and that I was uncomfortable with the cancer that I found.
Hold on a second. Let me check the book itself. Quote, I had promised Bernie when I took the helm of the Democrat National Committee after the convention that I would get to the bottom of whether Hillary Clinton's team had rigged the nomination process as a cache of emails stolen by Russian hackers and posted online had suggested. By September 7th, the day I called Bernie, I had found my proof and it broke my heart.
And where's the investigation?
She wrote in her book that they rigged it. And while
she's talking
on television interviews, she's saying that she didn't say that. Here's Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, who will most likely run for president in 2020, on the Clown News Network, admitting with Donna Brazile's assertion that the Clinton campaign rigged the primaries.
Very quickly, Senator, do you agree with the notion that it was rigged?
Yes.
Wait a minute, maybe she just misspoke. Let's see what she had to say in a later interview on PBS.
Do you think, though, that what we're learning from Donna Brazile's book suggests that the campaign, that what the Democratic National Committee did, meant this election was rigged?
Yeah, I think it was.
It's a pretty powerful charge.
Well, what we have to focus on now as Democrats.
Look at how freaked out she looks from stabbing Hillary Clinton in the back. The only thing that she could possibly do to try to salvage her own career. This is amazing. These Democrats have literally spent the last year endlessly defending Hillary with every breath that they have. Only
and crying
now,
Russia.
As the one-year anniversary has passed, to finally turn and toss the Wicked Witch under the bus. Here's Donna Brazile again on MSNBC, hawking her dumb book, where she admits that the people in the DNC who supported Hillary Clinton were like a cult.
Bottom line it for us. Why did they lose? Was it, at the end of the day, arrogance?
Yes, Joe. It was a cult. I felt like it was a cult. You could not penetrate them. I mean, you can... I'm a grassroots organizer. I know.
But the Washington Post said Trump voters are in a cult.
I know how to touch people where they live, work, play, and pray. But I cannot do it. I cannot help a candidate, Joe, if I don't have the resources. If I cannot spend the resources that the party is raising.
Hold on a second. It had nothing to do with resources or money, and everything to do with the fact that Hillary Clinton is just plain terrible and evil, and the worst candidate that you guys could have possibly put up. What an incredible year it's been. Hey, guys, now even the Democrat leadership are finally starting to admit what we've been saying for years, that the Clintons are corrupt to the core and you should have nothing to do with them. I'm Mark Dice. Thanks for watching. I hope you check out my new book, The True Story.
So think about this, though. Think about this.
Mainstream media.
As the Democrats are admitting on liberal media that Hillary Clinton rigged the election against Bernie Sanders, as they're admitting this, they continue to cry Trump Russia. The Russian collusion investigation continues, and there is absolutely zero investigation into Seth Rich, zero investigation into the rigging against Bernie Sanders, zero investigation into Clinton and Uranium One. Talk about a double standard. Will the liberals, Trump haters, do next? Will they put pussy hats on their head? Nope. They already did that. Will they scream helplessly at the sky? Oh, check that off the list. Did that too. Wow. What will the liberal protesters do next? Will they... Will they dress up as a unicorn and wield a battle axe? Check that off the list too, folks. Unbelievable. What will the liberals do next? We're all waiting on bated breath to see what the next crazy liberal protest is. In the meantime, though, folks, we've got limited time specials that are on InfoWarsStore.com right now that may not last much longer. These are specials that were specifically designed for the 34-hour American Rebirth broadcast special. These specials include 50% off Super Male and Super Female Vitality, 50% off Biome Defense 50, the probiotic, 50% off all InfoWars apparel at InfoWarsStore.com. All InfoWars apparel, 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 50% off. Secret 12 Vitamin B12, 50% off. Super Blue Fluoride Free Mouthwash, 50% off. And DNA Force is back in stock for now with 25% off. The groundbreaking DNA Force that is such a powerful product, 25% off. All items on the InfoWars store currently at InfoWarsStore.com have free shipping. So we've got limited time specials that may not last through the night, including 50% off all InfoWars apparel. Get to the InfoWarsStore.com now. Take advantage of all of these specials. Half off InfoWars apparel. That's got to be the best deal going right now for me. Of course, other great specials. Again, 50% off so much right now. And the free shipping. Take advantage of the free shipping. Get a big ticket item like a water filter or an air filter or emergency food, and you could possibly be saving hundreds of dollars just on the free shipping alone. So support us. You know we're under attack. I've got more videos today. Congress saying we need to censor InfoWars. This happens more and more. Facebook saying they have to censor us. Twitter censoring us. YouTube admitting they have to censor us. Google rigging their algorithms so that InfoWars doesn't even make the top five fold. So it's very important for you to support us because we don't look for big pharma. We don't look for big insurance. We don't look for these big advertisers. We look for you, and you deliver, and we are expanding every day. So thank you for your support, and take advantage of all the specials at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, final segment of this hour. Roger Stone will be joining us at the top. We'll hear from Paul Joseph Watson in the first segment of the next hour. In the time being, though, I'll go back to the phone lines. Heck, it's been a long last 2 days here at InfoWars with the live broadcast, so why not take a call from Stu in Massachusetts who wants to talk Flat Earth? Go ahead, Stu.
Hey, can you hear me on it?
I can hear you just fine.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I remember that dude that was always with Joe Rogan was on the show.
Eddie Bravo.
Right, yeah. I've been a long time watcher, listener, and everything. Pete Santilli's actually going to be back on the air tomorrow night, which is going to be pretty interesting.
I'm sorry, who?
Peter Santilli.
Oh, okay.
I remember him. All right, but anyway.
What, did he just get out of jail or something?
Yeah, he just got out of federal prison, actually. Oh. Yeah. He was legally put there, I guess. Supposedly, okay, is the story. But anyway, my point is the Flat Earth. My point is that the geocentric cosmogony of the Earth, if I notice a lot of, you know, Alex sounds a lot more Christian lately. I'm really into that. You know what I mean? It sounds like this new revival, like this new Christendom dominion that's about to step up and judge the world. You know, as it says, the saints will judge the world, and you have to be ready to try trivial cases and all manners and the like and all that. So I'm just wondering, you know, are you guys anywhere near seeing any of that advancing light coming from the whole Flat Earth? You know, the International Flat Earth Conference in Raleigh, North Carolina starts, I believe, today and goes into tomorrow. International Flat Earth Conference. It's supposed to be pretty big from what I've heard.
All right. Well, I've not heard of it. I am not one that believes in the Flat Earth. Okay. I'm assuming you are. You're a flat earther, Stu?
Well, I believe in the creation account. Yeah. So the Earth was created first. I mean, if you go over the equator, why wouldn't it flip to the other axis? Speaking bipolar. You know what I mean? What, if space is a vacuum, why wouldn't it suck the moon right into the Earth? You know, how is combustion possible in space?
I don't think that's centrifugal force works.
Well, that's the parallax has been pretty much shot down.
Here's what I will agree with you with. Here's what I like to do. I like to find areas where we can agree and then go from there. I don't think the Earth is flat. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've gone down the rabbit hole. I've got questions about the science, about the Earth's size, and you know, all of that stuff. But I don't think the Earth is flat. I do have questions about some of the activities that NASA does, and some of the lies that come out of NASA. I mean, it's kind of obvious some of the things that they lie about.
In abundance.
So I've got my questions there, but here's what I'll agree with you on. All right, Stu, I got to talk now. Man, Stu would just take the reins here. Here's where I agree with you, Stu. I am, to be in a more broad sense, not to get into the religion, aspect of this, I am a creationalist. I believe that we were indeed created, which I think is something that you would agree with since you take into account the biblical account of creation and flat Earth. And I've said on this show before, I think that science transcends science and proves creation. What are the odds that we just blow up in the middle of a vacuum and then science exists? It's literally impossible. So I think because of science, that proves intelligent design. What do you think about that, Stu?
Is CERN, in fact, a scientific installation or a religious installation or a scientism-ness installation?
Well, I would say that CERN is, I guess you would say, breakthrough, scientific, you would call it science. I mean, they're constantly doing... You know, the Hadron Collider. I mean, I guess that's like a big science experiment. You know, people have their theories about CERN.
Guys, I have to dispel this rumor right now, okay?
Marcos Morales, folks.
The Earth is actually hollow. I've just discovered this. The Earth is hollow.
Oh, you know what?
The sky is a projection of the mist that collects at the center of the Earth. And where space is actually a trans-dimensional portal at the center, the Earth is hollow. All right.
I think what has happened to Marcos is in the last segment, we played the liberal that says she talks to aliens that said that the Earth is hollow. So I think that Marcos has now been.
Hold on just a second. Hold on.
He's taking his brain force now.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Space is infinite. The Earth is round. we were created from a genius creator. I'm sorry. I just hadn't had this yet.
Oh, okay. So Marcos has his brain force and he no longer believes in the liberal aliens. All right. No, but hey, here's another thing I'll say. Again, I mean, you want to talk about government secrets. They're obviously covering something up in Antarctica. But here, I'll ask Stu this. Crew, look this up. A man is about to walk across the entire plain of Antarctica. Look that up. A man now plans on walking across Antarctica. I've never heard of that before. They've covered up, experiments and stuff in Antarctica. 30 seconds, Stu. What do you think is going on in Antarctica?
What do I think is going on in Antarctica? I think it's a 200 to 300 foot, azimuthal equidistant map, period. 1892 said was... to be scientifically and politically as is correct back then. So you're
an ice wall guy.
Definitely, with a dome over it. You cannot understand the...
All right, there you go, folks. Hey, we take all opinions here at InfoWars.
Laughing at deranged social justice warriors is so 2016. I mean, it's just such low-hanging fruit. It's so cliched at this point.
Tonight, thousands of peoples in cities across the country will scream helplessly at the sky 1 year after the election of President Donald Trump.
All right, then, one more time.
Three, two, one.
But I was thinking, this reminds me of something. What could it be?
Shout out his name.
You're reenacting the 2 minutes of hate out of 1984. You're literally Orwellian. We're dealing with the daycare generation. Why do you think college safe spaces now have crayons and puppies to cuddle? We're dealing with infants who learned that screaming was how you got your own way. Well, this is the adult world, snowflakes, and things just don't work like that. Oh, that sweet taste of liberal tears. Tell a lie, it's not sweet, it's... What's that taste? Salty. But I've got to say, I was looking forward to this immeasurably. And you kind of let me down. I mean, you had lower energy than Jeb Bush on a debate stage.
Someone forgot to take their brain force.
In Austin, our own Owen Schroyer screamed for longer than the actual protesters.
Well, I'll get it kicked off here.
A handful of them turned up for 10 minutes and left.
And, excuse me, ma'am. What are you doing? Excuse me. Excuse me, why are you blocking our free speech? Got some sort of aquamarine character here. He's got a old school, like, type of a diver's scuba mask on or something here. And then he's got a, homemade sort of megaphone here that he's putting into a stuffed turtle's mouth. This is actually happening.
Is this really what George Soros is spending his $18 billion on? I'd ask for a refund. Maybe they think it's a kind of mating call that will attract a sexual partner. Because let's be fair, they need all the help they can get. But seriously, you guys truly do put the tard in libtard. Please keep autistically screeching. Please keep calling anyone with a different opinion a Nazi.
You don't need to be videotaping these people. They're on Twitter every day with their voices.
Please keep having no actual policies or arguments, because this... This is why Trump won. Please click the big red button to subscribe. It really helps me when you do that. And click the bell to allow notifications so you never miss a new video.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're at the right place. This is the War Room with Roger Stone and my colleague Owen Schroyer. We're going to be taking your calls a bit later, but it is rare that we're able to make history here on the cable, but yesterday we did make history here at the War Room when I revealed startling information discovered by a writer and Princeton graduate and esteemed journalist, J.C. Hawkins, who lives in my native state of Florida and who edits a terrific blog called The Forgotten Street. Now, Mr. Hawkins has written an extraordinary book called Betrayal at Bethesda. This is the story of three great Americans, Defense Secretary James V. Forrestal, a Democrat, Senator and later President John F. Kennedy, and Senator Joseph R. McCarthy. And I believe joining us now, not to be confused with Screaming Jay Hawkins, is J.C. Hawkins, the author of this extraordinary must-read book. Are you with us, Mr. Hawkins?
Hey, Roger. Certainly am. Thanks for that introduction.
Well, you have written an extraordinary piece of history, but I'm going to go right to it. Because yesterday I revealed a missing piece of history that I had not known. Now, as you know, the Central Intelligence Agency and their longtime moles in the media, who they were paying then, according to the most recently declassified documents, and they are probably playing today, insisted that our Bay of Pigs invasion failed because JFK refused to order air support for our men, or I should say the Cuban men we had trained who were storming the beaches of Cuba. What I learned in your incredible book is that what had been covered up by the president's critics is the fact that the president had left a standing order and that modified B-29s, which I have been able to learn through my own research, were to be unflagged, piloted by anti-Castro Cubans flown out of Nicaragua, were supposed to take a preemptory strike at the Cuban Air Force, the T-33 jets that Castro had on the ground, thus giving our men at the beach a fighting chance, and that order was called off by McGeorge Bundy. McGeorge Bundy, in a phone call to, I believe it is Charles Cable, I may have that wrong. It was one of the Cable brothers of the CIA, the other brother being mayor of Dallas. Now, this is extraordinary news. The point, of course, of this is that we knew that Kennedy had agreed to the Bay of Pigs operation only if it looked, at least on the outside, like an indigenous Cuban uprising. It was not to have the imprimatur of the United States. The attack, the air support by American jets on the beach was not part of the operational plan and should have needed to be had the president's order been carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is extraordinary history. Mr. Hawkins, my hat is off to you.
Well, thanks, Roger. The interesting thing about it was when JFK became president, he was presented with this plan, which had already been approved in the Eisenhower administration and cooked up by Alan Dulles of CIA. He had misgivings about the plan, and they were pushing him to have the American military get involved with air cover for the exile invasion. He was not at all comfortable with that and was willing to go along with the plan for the Cuban exiles to fly in from Nicaragua and take out the Cuban Air Force for the landing on the beach. The interesting thing is, of course, Bundy canceled that behind his back, and that's something for more and more historians to dig into, is what was that all about?
Well, I don't need to tell you. Bundy is, of course, the McGeorge Bundy is the brother of William Bundy, who was a target of Senator Joseph McCarthy in his initial probing as to communist influence in the CIA. It was really McCarthy's threat to the Central Intelligence Agency that drove Eisenhower to the conclusion that McCarthy had to be destroyed. And you make an extraordinary case in this book that McCarthy checks into a military hospital with a banged up knee, which he has hurt as a war injury and then exacerbated playing touch football, according to a Life magazine piece that I was able to find. He goes into the hospital for a sore knee, and 6 days later, approximately, he is dead of acute hepatitis. Now, the liberal left, Drew Pearson and Edward R. Murrow and others, viciously spread the idea that McCarthy was an alcoholic, and nobody would deny that Joe liked a belt, but he was not dying of cirrhosis, and he did not die of cirrhosis, and he drank no more than, say, Barry Goldwater. It is interesting that McGeorge Bundy is the man who makes the call. Tell us about the connection of the two cables, because I didn't have that precisely right.
Charles Cable was a retired general who then joined the CIA. And, of course, his brother, Earl, wound up being mayor of Dallas and was the mayor at the time of the Kennedy assassination. And, in fact, apparently Cable played a pivotal role in deciding the route of the motorcade and was in the motorcade.
That's exactly correct. Earl Cable being part of the same Johnson Syndicate, which controls the Dallas County Prosecutor, the Dallas City Police, the Dallas County Sheriff's Office, and, of course, in 1963, the murder even of the president, is not a federal crime, but a state crime. Therefore, the examination leads immediately to the Johnson ring. I really found the revelations about the connections between the Kennedy family and Joe McCarthy revelatory. I knew that Robert Kennedy had worked in the Senate under McCarthy. I was unaware that they were present at McCarthy's funeral, that one of the Kennedy sisters was a bridesmaid in Joe McCarthy's wedding. I knew that Fighting Joe had dated two of the Kennedy sisters. Now, in this new book that's out on the streets now, How Robert Kennedy Became a Liberal Icon, none of that is curiously mentioned. The fact that Robert Kennedy was a staunch anti-communist, that was never mentioned in this book. There is no question that he has a swing to the left after the murder of his brother. He is probably dealing with the fact that at least on some level he is partially responsible. But your delineation of the McCarthy-Kennedy relationship was one of the highlights of this book.
Well, it really started in some respects with the father, Joe, who was a staunch anti-communist and, of course, got himself in trouble when he was ambassador to Great Britain for arguing that it would be folly to get in a war with Hitler and that Hitler should be encouraged to go after the Soviet Union. And that was when, you know, he really played his cards as a staunch anti-communist. But I found something in my research that I had not seen, you know, anywhere previously, were reports that when Jack Kennedy and Joe McCarthy were in the Marshall Islands in the South Pacific in World War II, that they met then and hit it off. And there was one report of McCarthy going out on a PT boat with Kennedy and getting a chance to fire the machine guns. And it wasn't PT-109, which had already been sunk. I think it was, I believe, PT-52. That was the new command that Jack Kennedy took over. But the fact is, they may have begun a friendship then, but I hadn't found that until, you know, within a few months of completing the book. It was something I added pretty much at the last minute.
Well, that is extraordinary. As I recall, McCarthy would later tell a friend that JFK let him shoot the guns. An extraordinary piece of scholarship. J.C. Hawkins, with the very highly recommended book, Betrayal at Bethesda. You can get it at the Stone Cold Truth store. Go to stonecoldtruth.com. Soon be available at the InfoWars call. Congratulations on this amazing achievement.
Roger, I greatly appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you, given your own authorship of a number of great books, and I'm looking forward to getting a copy of Tricky Dick when it comes out.
Be it my pleasure to send it your way. And I'm your host, Roger Stone. What an extraordinary celebration yesterday was, the one-year anniversary of an upheaval by the American people to throw off the yoke of the two-party duopoly that has run this country into the ground, to give us a second chance, a chance to indeed make America great. And who better to lead this than an outsider, somebody not connected and not responsible for the failed policies of the past? someone who, like us, is tired of the endless foreign wars, tired of an abusive deep state that violates and erodes our civil liberties, tired of career politicians who spend and borrow into eternity and raise our taxes while they do it, tired of the bureaucrats who have negotiated the shady trade deals that have sucked the jobs out of America, tired of those who pass the high tax rates that choke what could be a vibrant and robust economy. I'm just sobering up. Yesterday was such a great day, Owen. But it harkened me back to a time long ago when I was working in Washington as a lobbyist for Donald Trump. I was in Washington. He was in New York. I called him and told him I needed to see him on a matter of urgency pertaining to a specific piece of legislation in which he had an interest. And he told me no, that he had to fly to Atlantic City with a number of his executives by helicopter and asked if I couldn't come the following day. I told him that it would not wait that long and that I really needed to see him to go over proposed language. And he said, all right, fly up immediately. I will send the helicopter down with my crew and then have it sent back for me. I flew immediately to New York and took a cab from what was then Idlewild Airport. No, I guess by then we were Kennedy, back into the city to Trump Tower. 15 minutes into my meeting, his longtime assistant, Norma Federer, came into the room ashen-faced and said, Mr. Trump, Clint Pagano is the superintendent of New Jersey State Police is on the line. He has terrible news. Mr. Trump, Donald, picked up the phone, and the superintendent of state police said, Mr. Trump, I'm sorry to tell you that the helicopter that your company had leased crashed in the Pinelands, and there were no survivors. I knew at that moment Donald Trump was destined, saved for a purpose. I have never said, and I don't say it today, that I saved his life. Perhaps God saved his life working through me. But I understood that his life was preserved, spared for a higher purpose. And now we know what that purpose is. To take on the globalists and those who would destroy America as we know it. To take on those who don't believe in the sovereignty or the exceptionalism or the promise of America. Those who would like to homogenize us into some kind of world government. The neocons, the Clintons, and the Bushes, lining their pockets while they pursue policies that make the American people weaker and poorer. That is what Donald Trump was elected to change. And now those in the deep state make no doubt about it. They threaten his existence. No one should take any solace or rest on our laurels because of our great victory, which we celebrated only yesterday. Now the greatest challenge will come. Mr. Mueller is the Lord High Executioner for the neocons. He has done the dirty work for the Clintons and the Bushes from BCCI to the mortgage meltdown to Uranium One. Let's not forget 9/11. He is the executioner for the deep state, and he has Donald J. Trump in his sights. It scares me because I don't know that General Kelly and those immediately around the president have made him fully aware of the danger that Mr. Mueller, a runaway prosecutor, poses. So we shall see. While I'm at it, however, I want to address something from the first segment when the name of Pete Santilli came up. For those of you who don't know, Pete Santilli is a journalist and a fine one at that, and he was covering the standoff between the Bundy Rancher family and the Bureau of Long Enforcement, pardon me, the Bureau of Land Management, when the jackbooted thugs came onto the property in an attempt to seize the cattle of Bundy. Now, I want to be extraordinarily clear that the legal basis for Clive Bundy's failure to pay past due grazing fees is based on his belief that the land did not belong to the federal government, but to the state government. Judge Andrew Napolitano confirms this, that the idea that lands that are not owned by a state or a private owner are automatically owned by the federal government is false. But you see, Clark County, where Bundy was ranching, he was the last rancher family left. And Senator Harry Reid wanted this land for a solar power project. So Bundy was treated like a common criminal. And here's what we know. Cliven Bundy tried to pay his grazing fees to the Clark County clerk, to the state of Nevada. So the idea that he was a deadbeat is a lie, because he believed legally that's where they should be paid. What's going on in the Bundy trial is a travesty. Judge Gloria Navarro refuses to let them choose their own counsel, denies them pretrial release. They've been imprisoned now almost close to 2 years, despite the fact that none of the men, the Bundys, or their supporters have criminal records. They're not allowed to call witnesses in their own defense. They are not allowed to have a summation by their lawyers. They are incarcerated and kept in shackles in the courtroom. This is the oppressive boot of the federal government. And therefore, I urge you to go to stonecoldtruth.com, where we have a petition that you can sign to President Donald J. Trump. There is a way to get justice in this case, folks. Urge President Trump to review this case and pardon the Bundy ranchers and their supporters. Pete Santilli did nothing other than cover a story. He was improperly and falsely arrested. He is a journalist. He wasn't waving a gun. He was waving a camera. And so much for the Bundy drama. Owen, how are you doing?
Doing just fine. I love to see you fired up here. We are celebrating the MAGAversary. We're bringing a close to our 34-hour broadcast. We're about to take a break here, Roger. I know you wanted to get into some calls on the other side, but I'm just curious. I covered this in the first hour. Everyone's accusing everyone in Hollywood of this, that, sexual assault, and the other thing. Now you've got Roy Moore being accused. He says it's fake news. Mitch McConnell is already jumping on it, saying he needs to step aside if true. Roger, what is this age we're living in where you just say, he touched me, he looked at me, I feel like I was assaulted, and then it's just a truth with no court, no jury, no litigation, nothing. It's just you accuse and then it becomes real.
Well, look, I want to reserve judgment until I see the facts. All I've seen is a headline. In the case of Donald Trump, insinuations were made and they had no factual basis. In the case of Bill Clinton, there were many instances where he wasn't legally charged, but there were witnesses and women willing to come forward and other credible supporters and other supporting witnesses. So I do think if you're going to take the crimes of Harvey Weinstein seriously, and we do, each individual situation must be judged. Right now, all I've seen is a charge. Now, if this is a credible case, I frankly think that Roy Moore would do himself and the president a service. But if he steps down, do not replace him with a quizzling of Mitch McConnell.
Warning, this broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're here in The War Room at Infowars. From time to time, I have to remind the patriots and the info warriors that freedom isn't free, and that we are the tip of the spear. We are the leaders among libertarian-oriented Americans in our opposition to the global the globalists and their neocon allies who would end America as we know it. We are in a vital struggle for the future of Western civilization. And we don't have a David Rockefeller or a George Soros or some other hedge fund billionaire like Paul Singer writing us multi-million dollar checks to spread the word. We have to depend on the individual info warrior and other like-minded patriots to go to the Infowars.com store and look at the extraordinary products that we carry. I myself love the First Amendment-oriented T-shirts. And right now, every T-shirt you find on the site is at 50% off. Now, the important thing to recognize is that this includes the iconic Bill Clinton rape T-shirt. This T-shirt will end up in the Smithsonian, folks. This is the T-shirt that I designed and Alex Jones told the world about when he posted $250,000 in a contest in which anyone wearing this shirt who got on TV got $1,000. And if they were able to audibly say Bill Clinton is a rapist, they got five. This was the guerrilla tactic that we used to break the news blackout of the mainstream media, who tried to explain the former president's antics as infidelities or indiscretions. No, they were assaults and violence against women and rape, and this was the only way to let people know it. Every time I go to a book signing, every time I go to a Proud Boys rally, every time I go to a Tea Party gathering, the number of rape t-shirts warms my heart. So please, now, there's an extraordinary price at $9.98. These will end up in the Smithsonian. There is no question whatsoever that we are not going to print more. This is the last run. These were made during the fight against Hillary Clinton and the atheistic, godless, communist rule that she would have brought to this country. So, folks, go to the site now and support Alex Jones in this extraordinary expansion. Now, every day, 10 hours guaranteed. Owen Scheuer, Roger Stone. This is great, great stuff, and it's only because you loyally support us at the site, and it's a win-win. You will never buy anything on this site that doesn't have many testimonials, isn't rigorously tested to be the best of the genre. You can find other male vitality formulas. There's plenty in the drugstore, but none with the quality and the strength of Super Male Vitality, which today, 50% off. Michael Zimmerman wouldn't be caught dead without this product. And when used synergistically with Anthroplex, you get a turbocharged result. These prices will not last very long, folks, so please go to the site and help us out. Owen, I think we have some folks on the line, and this is my favorite part. Our number, for those who don't know, 888-201-2244. If you want a question for Owen, right off the bat, I must tell you, that tie is a complete winner. Complete winner. Very old school Harvard feeling. Since Owen replaced Jake Tapper on the international best dress list, I hear that Jake Tapper is very upset. So, Owen, let's go to the call board. What do we got?
It does. That explains a lot. Let's start off with Andy in Nebraska, who wants to talk about all the sexual abuse coming out of Hollywood. Yes, go ahead, Andy.
So first of all, do I think all the accusations are real? It doesn't seem very likely that it is, but with the fact that so many are coming out, it's pretty obvious that there's a trend of sexual harassment, abuse, pedophilia in Hollywood. I don't know what you, I think you would agree with that. One more, and a couple of other things. I hope you enjoyed watching the liberals scream helplessly into the sky. I sure did out in Omaha. And one more thing, I want to ask Roger about this. So the president has taken the side of Spain as it pertains to Catalonia, and I don't know if he's getting. All the info he needs about it. So if, yeah, I think, yeah.
Okay, so we got the.
I get the gist of your question. Let me address it. Look, I think this is yet another example of the Bush holdover influence on the Trump administration. We saw it in the number of troops we are keeping in Afghanistan. We saw it on the strike on the Syrian airbase. Although, to his credit, the president pared the size of that down and then refused the entreaties of the Bush quislings around him to send 150,000 troops, just as he turned down the suggestion of H.R. McMaster that he send 50,000 troops to Afghanistan. But in the case of Catalonia, you have an establishment State Department carrying the globalist line, which is to support the Spanish government, when you have the overwhelming support for secession by the Catalonian people.
Exactly. People are pro-independence activists are being arrested without warrants. The democratically elected government with the exception of four of Carlos Puigdemont's ministers and Carlos Puigdemont, have all been arrested. The Speaker of the Parliament has been arrested. The Spanish police violently attacked Catalans who only voted in the referendum. Not all this information is getting to Trump, and I think if it does get to him, that we could actually see some real good come out of that region.
Well, let me say this. I think Julian Assange's reporting on this has been extraordinarily courageous. He is one who actually runs a risk by alienating the Spanish government, yet he does what's right, and he has championed and put forward a lot of information that is supportive of the freedom fighters. This proves that he is a journalist and in no one's pocket. If he were, he'd be currying favor with the Spanish right now to try to save his asylum, where Ecuador is under extraordinary pressure to turn him out in the street, where, of course, the deep state would like to lynch him. Mr. Assange's sin, very simple, Owen. He's a journalist, and he reports the truth, and the truth hurts the globalists and the neocons. They loved it when the truth embarrassed George W. Bush, but now when it embarrasses the Clintons and Barack Obama and the deep state, not so much.
Yeah, they really like to have a veil of secrecy, Roger. And what Julian Assange has essentially done with his journalism is he's removed some of those layers and he's exposed what these people are actually saying, thinking, and doing behind closed doors. And of course, the establishment can't have that. It was terrible for the Clinton campaign in the last election. And I'm not surprised that they want to demonize Julian Assange. And as far as, you know, Trump and his thoughts on Spain, I know that I follow, you know, Trump's actions just as much as you do and everything he says. I would say that until Trump makes a loud statement that is to the point and right on target and actually addresses this head on, I don't really consider President Trump as addressing it. Maybe he's made a comment here or there that seems to be leaning one way or the other. But until President Trump attacks an issue head on, I think that that's when you can really understand what Trump is thinking as far as these things are concerned. Roger, final 20 seconds. Your thoughts?
I totally agree. The president tells us that he is for legal marijuana. Jeff Sessions keeps insisting they're going to crack down on it. The president has not yet spoken.
So we will wait, and we will hear from president, and he says it, and then he follows through every time. That's why we voted for him. Another segment with Roger Stone.
My fellow freedom lover.
Welcome back to the War Room. We've got Roger Stone on, and Roger just went into his Super Stone booth, did a 360, and came out in his Super Stone attire. Roger, my goodness.
I want to point out to you, Owen, that this is the in-your-face InfoWars shirt. There is something about this shirt, and we're going to give you a good solid look at it. There's something about this shirt that drives the libtards wild. Today, two of them accosted my grandson and I as we were getting out of the car at a local shopping center. Let's just say it did not go well for them. In any event, this shirt, like all of the shirts at the InfoWars store, now at 50% off. This one is my personal favorite. It seems to inflame liberals to a stake of foaming. They foam at the mouth when they see this shirt. It's hard to really explain, but like Election Light, when I enjoyed their discomfort, when there's nothing that tastes better than the tears of liberals, as our colleague Paul Joseph Watson would put it, this has emerged as my favorite t-shirt. Let's go back to the board here and see who we have who has questions for the great Owen Scheuer or myself.
It looks like Lee in New York is going to be next up. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, guys. I'm glad you guys got me on the show tonight. I'm a fellow New Yorker. And, you know, I could maybe meet Mr. Stone one day and, you know, just have a rapid exchange of the mind. But my question, or my point, was the Las Vegas shooting. We could see a clear connection between what happened in Saudi Arabia with the arrest of the billionaire, and it does look like it was possibly a gun trafficking incident that went bad, and somebody had ordered them to make an example, for the promotion of their agenda as far as, the Second Amendment.
Well, the cover-up seems to me to be extraordinary. The problem here is it's very hard to make any judgments about Las Vegas because we have so little real information, and the good information we do have has mostly been collected by citizen journalist bloggers who have brought it to places like Infowars.com. Owen?
Yeah, it's really convoluted. I have to agree with you on that, Roger. It's tough to really reach any firm conclusions because of all the cloud and all the fog around the investigation, so many anomalies, so many cover-ups, so many changes to the timeline.
What about the YouTube videos of the helicopters firing onto the people down?
Yeah, exactly. There's another angle with the helicopters and the flight records and all of that stuff. I mean, there's so much fog of this that I kind of fall back on what's been my safest analysis, that this was literally an event coordinated by multiple entities, multiple people coordinated against the United States and the United States people to honestly probably kill hundreds, if not thousands of people. And thankfully, for whatever the reason is, I think that this attack that was meant to harm many more people did not go as they planned it.
Well, no, it's definitely controversial.
Well, great question, Lee, and we thank you for your call. Speaking of New York and getting together there, when Rob Dew let people know on InfoWars that we would be getting down in Times Square at 11 o'clock, we had a hearty band of InfoWarriors from the greater New York area, some from New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, Westchester, and yes, New York City. We did some singing. We talked a lot of politics and we had a good time. We're going to do this again. This was a historic night. Du and I had already stormed the CNN corporate headquarters demanding they produce Jake Tapper or at least Anderson Cooper or Brooke Baldwin. But instead, we got some burly Irish security guard who told us to get lost. And we did. But it was a good shot anyway. Who do we have on the call board, Owen?
Next up would be Victor, who also wants to talk Vegas shooting. Go ahead, Victor.
Hello?
Yes.
I have some information about the Las Vegas shooting or whatever I looked up. And have you heard about a man named Dan Bilzerian?
Yes.
He was at the Las Vegas shooting. He was one of the people who was actually an eyewitness at the shooting and did a lot of the recording there. And he was actually on TMZ a long time ago saying that about Hillary Clinton and saying that he wasn't going to let her on her plane anymore. I think he was using her plane for when she was campaigning.
I'm not familiar with that. I do know that Dan Bilzerian was at the shooting and did witness it and did record. I am aware of that. I will actually tell you, I personally reached out to Dan to try to get him on the show to share his eyewitness testimony. I never heard back, but I did try to reach out to him.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you guys did anything about that, because I did see something. It was on TMZ a long time ago where he said he wasn't going to let Hillary Clinton on his plane anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why Hillary Clinton... Go ahead, Roger.
Again, sometimes people's 15 minutes comes up twice, and as I understand it, he ran a charter jet service, which are open to anyone in the public chartering, and he made a decision not to do business with Hillary Clinton. Understandable. But I do recall that. But we're going to research this more, and we thank you for your call. Other thing I would tell you, Owen, that I was very pleased about is the Salon and the Business Insider and others have correctly reported that my legal bills for my being questioned in the House and Senate Intelligence Russian witch hunt, plus the completely phony lawsuit ginned up against me by the Obama-blessed front group Project for Democracy, which is essentially using this frivolous harassment suit for fundraising purposes, my legal bills finally hit $497,000. I have not even given testimony to the Senate, which I may yet be called for. Alex Jones very graciously and generously sent $10,000, one of the first donors to the Legal Defense Fund. But if you want to help the Stone family out, you can go to stonedefensefund.com, and every penny will be appreciated. There are at least three stories up on the internet. One tells you I'm worth $40 million. One tells you I'm worth $20 million, to which I say, I wish. This is a burden on our family, and we appreciate the support of every Trump supporter and every InfoWarriors, and I gratefully appreciate the support of Alex Jones for his very generous contribution.
Roger, while we're on that topic, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch has filed a FOIA request to get the financial details as to how much money is being cost the taxpayers because of this Russian collusion probe. I can only imagine if your legal bills have reached almost $500,000, what the legal bills that Roger Mueller is racking up could possibly be reaching. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think you mean Paul Manafort, correct?
Excuse me. Yeah, Mueller searching into Manafort. Yes.
Yeah, no, look, Manafort and his sidekick, Rich Sancho Panza Gates, have racked up tens of I would say Manafort is in the multi-million dollar category easily, three, four. That's the whole point, is to break him, to try to make him tell Robert Mueller what he wants to hear, that the president was colluding, that Manafort was colluding with the Russians and that Trump knew and approved. He's not going to do that. I think it's just the fact that all of the charges against him, none of them relate to tax evasion and none of them relate to Russia. Ukraine is not Russia. Manafort's work in Russia was 100% legal. Money cannot be laundered if it is not dirty to begin with. As long as he paid taxes on it when he brought any amount of money or paid for things in the United States, then he is not in violation. This is a weak indictment, but it is arm-twisting by Mr. Mueller.
Well, I'd like to see this be turned on Mr. Mueller. I'd like to see him have to release the financial records of how much this is costing the American taxpayer. And honestly, it's time for the investigation to be turned on him, but he won't recuse himself, but Jeff Sessions will, conveniently. Final seconds, Roger Stone, parting words.
Yes, bravo for Judicial Watch. Tom Fitton's a good man. He runs a great organization, and they are worthy of your contributions. They do great, great work.
No doubt, as does Roger Stone with us on the War Room every day here. So we take a break now. Final hour on the other side. We're joined by Stephanie Hamill. Don't go anywhere.
Making talk radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, Donna Brazil writes the tell-all book of everything we told you a year ago, but because it comes from Donna Brazil, now all of a sudden it gets covered as if it's fact. You know, Roger has stood up for Donna Brazil's character on this show. He knows Donna. I do not know Donna personally. To me, yes, this is Donna Brazil wanting to leave a sinking ship. But to me, it feels more like a greasy rat kind of sliding off of a sinking ship, more than something that has integrity behind it. But Roger says that she genuinely has, true purpose behind this. But regardless, she goes on Tucker Carlson last night, which I thought Tucker was going to really blow this interview out of the water. It ended up being a little more milquetoast than I expected. However, he did give Donna Brazil the business on her colluding with Hillary Clinton for the debate questions. Here's that clip.
It's a little much for you to criticize the DNC for colluding with the Hillary campaign when you conceded that you leaked questions to the Hillary campaign. campaign during a CNN town hall, before a CNN town hall. My question when I'm reading this is, did no one at CNN know that happened? Did they really learn for the first time when they read your book? How could they have not have known that?
Well, Tucker, I surely hope everyone will now go out and buy the book. It's called Hacks, the Inside Story.
Oh, I bet you do.
But there was a question there. Did nobody at CNN know that you did that? Well, so you say, look, you apparently got
See, this is actually key. Pause right here. This is actually the best part of the thing that Tucker did last night, because it was the only time where he kind of caught her in a gotcha moment. But the bigger gotcha moment is that we already knew this happened because of the WikiLeaks. That's the big thing here. Not that Donna Brazile writes the book and publishes it in the book. It's that we already had this intel. We already reported on this intel. Tucker Carlson already saw this intel. So CNN either shows you how corrupt they are or how incompetent they are, that they don't even know that this is going on until Donna Brazile says so. Let's go back to the clip.
Cannot put words in my mouth.
I'm just asking.
I got on some lipstick from Fox, but that has not forced me to not stand my ground.
It's not your ground. I'm asking about CNN. You haven't gone on their air. They're mad at you, obviously.
No,
but did they know that you leaked these questions? Really simple question.
You know, Tucker, I said last year.
Sounds like they did.
Tucker, don't try to put words in my mouth. I said last year that CNN never provided us with any questions.
War room
CNN
means.
Never
at war room
gave
means.
Us any. Thing in advance. What I did say, and what I've said in the future, in the past, and what I said in this book, is that I, as an officer of the DNC, and I know WikiLeaks gave everybody, you know, certain questions and certain emails, but as an officer in the DNC, I sought to expand the number of debates, and I wanted to make sure that we had diverse voices, and we covered issues that had not been discussed in previous debates. And
so,
what I did, give me one more second, and I know it's your show. I'm not trying to take over. But what I saw, Tucker, I know you too well. What I sought to do, Tucker, was to ensure that we had these issues on the table, and I made sure that our candidates, I didn't want them blindsided. That's what I admitted to. That's what I, look, what WikiLeaks put
that's,
out.
That's the greatest spin I've ever heard.
It's
I didn't want them blindsided.
Hey.
That's so good. You should do this for a living. That's all. That is hilarious.
She does.
Let me ask you a personal question.
WikiLeaks sought to divide us. These were active measures where you got to see the things I gave to Hillary.
Right.
You never got a chance to see the things I gave to Bernie.
Right.
And let me just
You know what?
Make
I'm totally
quick.
Happy. You bring those and I'll put them on the show anytime.
Oh, and there Tucker lays down the gauntlet. Honestly, the whole interview was overall milquetoast, but that was the best highlight from the whole thing. Again, she never answers the question. She doesn't want to throw CNN under the bus. She wants to protect Hillary Clinton's reputation at the same time to act like, oh, yeah, well, I was kind of doing this for Bernie, too. Give us a break. So you were doing it for Bernie, too, yet the election was rigged for Hillary. Donna Brazile talking out of both sides of her mouth on that one. Maybe she needs some more purple hair dye.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. Final hour here today. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are getting our guests connected right now. Stephanie Hamill from One America News Network. Got a bunch of different subjects I'm going to be covering with Stephanie. I'm trying to think of where I want to go first. We got some videos to go along with these stories, too. You know, let me just cover this real quick while we're getting Stephanie connected, guys. This comes out on PJ Media today, I believe is where I found this. ISIS group issues threat before Paris attack anniversary, vows to kill kids. A pro-ISIS group threatened more bitter and greater Manhattan attacks after last week's deadly ramming on the West Side bike path. Urged more attacks on the West today with propaganda poster showing the Eiffel Tower extending upwards as a rifle. So I'm going to go back to what I say every time I cover these stories about ISIS making threats on the internet. Folks, We cannot tweet out a picture of me on the War Room's Twitter handle, at War Room Show. If we tweet out a poll or a picture, it's censored. It says it's sensitive content, and it's immediately censored. So if we can't even tweet out something that's not aggressive, not offensive, not insensitive, and that gets censored, how in the hell can ISIS operate openly on the internet, making death threats, threatening children, threatening terrorist attacks, and not just censorship, but how about tracking these people down? I mean, how do they get away with this stuff? So you're telling me that we're going to go and search and bomb a bunch of caves looking for a caveman terrorist, and we're not even going to try to track their IT addresses that are making these threats? I don't know. Something just seems strange about that to me. And you're not going to like to hear this after hearing that. TSA fails most tests in latest undercover operation at U.S. airports. 80%, folks. Failure rate of the TSA is 80%. I'm not attacking the TSA here. Personally, I can't stand the TSA, but I've actually learned traveling a lot lately. A lot of the TSA agents are listeners of InfoWars and good people. But there's so many problems with TSA, and clearly it's ineffective, except, I guess, intimidation factors. But, you know, they zap you with the radiation. They infringe your right to privacy. You can't travel without getting groped. And then if you want to skip the radiation poisoning, then they make a big fuss of it and make you wait even longer. But how about the fact that they all, whenever you get into these lines, they literally herd you up like cattle. If someone actually wanted to inflict as much damage as possible, they would go right to the TSA line. We are all herded like cattle, and you know you're unarmed. But, you know, God forbid we have common sense and logic with our policy. We are now joined by Stephanie Hamill. She is a political commentator and reporter for One America News Network. She joins me now. Stephanie, thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's get into, how about this shooting spree? We have a man arrested. He goes on a shooting spree. He kills a 7-year-old girl. He's a non-citizen. And he tells the officers he doesn't even remember the event because he was so damn drunk. How does a non-citizen get away with this?
That's a great question, Owen, and that's something I'm trying to figure out. I mean, this is astounding what has happened in Texas. This is in Austin. And, you know, there's crickets from the mainstream media on this. The guy's name is Rolando Martinez. He's 25 years old. He's in custody right now. And he just went on a random shooting spree. He left a bar. He was wasted. And he decided he was going to go on the Interstate 35 and start shooting at people. He shot 3 adults and a 7-year-old girl in the head. She's in critical condition right now. She's in the hospital.
It's amazing. I mean, what kind of a mindset, getting past the obvious political failure here, that this individual was even in the country? What does it say? You know, Trump says they're not sending their best. I mean, is he not proven right in spades? What type of individual goes to a club? Okay, people go to the club, they get blackout drunk. Sure, that happens. But what type of individual has the thought, I'm going to go shoot up a highway?
Yeah, I mean, I've had many times going out, lots of drinks, have never ever used my gun to go shoot up anyone because I'm a normal person. And you know, this just shows Trump is justified. I'm Latina, half Latina. My mom is from Mexico. She came to this country legally, so she followed the rules. I don't think our presidents are racist. I don't think immigration laws are racist in any way. But when President Trump talks about that the best aren't coming across the border, this is exactly who he's talking about. We don't want these type of people here. Immigrants in this country that came here legally don't want these people here. And even illegal immigrants that are here don't want criminals like that roaming the street. And the irony in the story is that this is Austin, Texas. This is one of the cities that has been super vocal in fighting against SB 4 in Texas. That's the state law. That's, quote, the anti-sanctuary city law. So right now you have your attorney general that's fighting in court right now so that they can protect citizens from thugs like Martinez.
Yeah, and they want these sanctuary cities, these sanctuary states, cost taxpayer dollars. It makes the cities less safe. We continue to have case studies of that. It's getting more out of hand. And it's just amazing that this is even a debate to me. This shouldn't be a two-sided issue. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. And I think it really is indicative of where the Democrats stand in their policies that this is a partisan issue, that really at the end of the day, they don't have America First policies. They don't put the American citizens first. At the end of the day, all they care about is one more vote. Oh, that guy just went and shot four people and is a non-citizen? Well, you know what? He's going to vote Democrat, so let's try to keep him here.
Well, if they can get him to vote, of course. But yeah, this is all about constituency groups. So, you know, Hillary Clinton's campaign, women for Hillary, LGBT for Hillary, you know, the list goes on. So now they can add criminal illegals for Hillary or Democrats in general in the future. And we saw that too in Virginia, where they gave the ex-felons, you know, the right to vote. But this is all.
Yeah. And then you wonder how the Democrats continue to win. This is a joke.
But I also want to say there are nice immigrants that come across the border to work. They're, you know, want to raise a family or what, illegal immigrants, that is. But again, there are a lot of bad people that are coming through. So we need to weed them out. We need to know who is in this country. We're a nation of laws. We're a sovereign nation. And no country can survive with open borders, especially when it's a welfare state.
Well, we need immigration reform. It was one of the biggest policies that Trump ran on. It's why we elected him. You were actually down at the wall prototypes. You were down there on the border. What was it like down there?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, we have all of these New York liberals or the California liberals that have never been by the border. I'm from Arizona. I lived by the border. I was a local news reporter for CBS, so I did a lot of border stories. I know how dangerous it is. And you'll talk to a lot of these border agents who, by the way, a lot of them are Latino. You know, obviously they're here legally and they're working here in this country legally, but they're talking about, this is all about border security. So when they're talking about, they had no issue with the wall. They said, these are the type of things that we need. And it's not like they're going to build the Great Wall of China on the border, the U.S.-Mexico border. All they want to do is fill in certain areas that need more protection. Right now we have fences that have fallen over. We have areas that don't have fence. So we need something like this. This 30-foot wall, that the idea of it is super impressive. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. So right now they're in the process of testing the walls to see which ones would work best to keep criminals out. And I think the most interesting thing that I learned is that what the illegals do, they come in with their tools and they literally just cut holes through all these fences so easily, and they're constantly having to repair them. It's so
we're
much
not
for them to
building,
keep up with.
We're not going to build the Great Wall of China. We're not building the Great Wall of China. This is the Great Wall of America, folks. Stephanie Hamill is my guest from One America News Network. Stephanie made me privy to another fake hate crime story. And then I found an interesting clip that has an interesting twist to it that we'll explain at the end of it. Here's a lieutenant addressing the cadets about a racist incident.
We have an opportunity here, 5,500 people in this room, to think about what we are as an institution. This is our institution, and no one can take away our values. No one can write on a board and question our values. No one can take that away from us. So just in case you're unclear on where I stand on this topic, I want to leave you with my most important thought today. If you can't treat someone with dignity and respect, then you need to get out. If you can't teach someone from another gender, whether that's a man or a woman, with dignity and respect,
the other genders out there. Whoa.
If you demean someone in any way, then you need to get out.
You just demeaned 60 different genders, bro.
And if you can't treat someone from another race or a different color skin with dignity and respect, then you need to get out. Reach for your phones. I'm serious. Reach for your phones. Okay, you don't have to reach for your phones. I'm going to give you an opportunity to reach for your phones. Grab your phones. I want you to videotape this so that you have it, so that you can use it.
What? It's daycare?
So that we all have the moral courage together. All of us on the staff tower, lining the glass, all of us in this room. This is our institution. And if you need it and you need my words, then you keep these words. And you use them and you remember them and you share them and you talk about them. If you can't treat someone with dignity and respect, then get out.
Okay, so there was the lecture from Lieutenant General Silveira. One problem about that, Lieutenant General, it was fake news. The Washington Post, a black student wrote those racist messages that shook the Air Force Academy. Wow, talk about an embarrassment. Not that I have any problem with the message, obviously. But again, this is something that we have a fake news story now controlling the rhetoric in our Air Force. I mean, that is truly something right there. Do we still have Stephanie with us, guys? All right, I think
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, we got Stephanie back. Stephanie, how do you explain this? First of all, we got all these hoax hate crimes going on where people literally stage a hate crime. But doesn't this just show you how fake news and people are so quick to jump to conclusions that they end up making an entire speech based off fake news?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very powerful speech by this lieutenant, and he's the superintendent of that the Air Force Academy in Colorado. I mean, I guess that's what he had to do. That's what he felt was the right thing to do. But yeah, they should have been doing a little more investigating. And obviously, we are finding out that it was one of the students who reported the hate crime that was responsible for the hate crime. It was five black students reported that people had written racial slurs outside their dorm. Well, it turns out, like I said, it was one of the students. And with so many fake hate crimes that you've reported at InfoWars, that I've reported at the One America News Network, you'd think they would be a little more careful with this. It's like, you know, the boy who cried wolf so many times. We saw all these hate crimes popping up during the 2016 election and after Trump took office. Well, it turns out like 90%, maybe even like 99% of those were all fake hate crimes, hoaxes planned by liberals. And the media, they're breathlessly reporting on this, that this is Trump's America. He's inspiring the racists to come out and to attack minorities, when actually that's not the truth. It's the deranged, you know, the deranged leftists that are suffering from Trump, you know, dysphoria syndrome or whatever the syndrome is. And, you know, they let them get away with it. So then when they find out that it is a fake hate crime, they don't report on it. I'm surprised that the Washington Post actually gave one article on this today. But could you imagine if it was the other way around, Trump supporters doing fake hate crimes against themselves?
Oh, it'd be an absolute uproar. That's where I was going to go with this next. They've already created the biggest fake news hate crime hoax. That is that Trump is colluding with Russia to undermine America. Or that Trump colluded with Russia because Russia is now running the U.S. government. That is the biggest false crime ever reported by the media, and they continue to run with it. It's like Hillary Clinton literally makes all these deals with Russia and then runs over to Donald Trump, writes Russia on his forehead and says, look, look, he's the Russian agent.
Yeah, well, and now we're learning that it's actually the Russians that helped the Democrats more than anything. And when it came to, you know, the fake news and stuff that was being pushed online from Russian bots, well, the Russian bots were helping Democrats too. But back to these hate crimes, if you think of some of the huge hate crimes that just never, nobody ever circled back to really report on what happened. Remember the student from Louisiana, she had her hijab ripped off. Well, that turned out to be fake.
Yep.
The phoned in bomb threats at the Jewish centers. Well, that was an Israeli teen. Do you remember how much coverage they did on that? I mean, every single day.
It doesn't stop there. The guy that was kicking over Jewish headstones was Jewish. The guy that shot up the mosque was a Muslim who attended the mosque. It goes on and on and on.
Well, and then also we're hearing that one of the mosques in New York, they're upset because Trump hasn't come out to denounce that there had been some bomb threats or threats against the mosque. How do we even know if that's true or not? That's why they're holding off. We don't know if it's true. It could be a total hoax by CARE.
But notice the double standard. Stephanie, notice the blatant double standard here. The New York Police Department gets word that there might be radical Islamic terrorists forming in this mosque. They go investigate that. They're told that's insensitive. Then a member of the mosque goes out and runs 8 people over. They don't want the police there to investigate that. But then there's a threat called. Now they want the police. Oh, now bring the police. Where are the police now?
Well, and if they bring in the police, they're probably going to find out that this is a hoax, too. And something I've reported on extensively, and I think you did at InfoWars, too. Do you remember the California imams that were calling for the annihilation of Jews? And they posted it on their YouTube channel like it was just another day at mosque. And the mosque goers had no issue with the fact that their imam was espousing this hate on just at sermon. Like, no problem with that, right?
There was a man... There was a group, they got undercover footage of a Islamic school in New York that receives government funding. They abuse the children. They teach them radical Islam. I mean, this is serious stuff. Stephanie Hamill, thank you for joining us today. I wanted to have a screaming at the sky session with you, but unfortunately we ran out of time, so we'll have to scream at the sky next time.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Well, folks, it's an honor. It's honestly an honor that we are constantly under attack from the establishment. Now, it's not fun. This is an info war. This is a battle for information and truth and the hearts and minds of America. But that's why we're censored on Facebook. That's why we're censored on Twitter. That's why we're algorithmed out of the Google search results. That's why we're algorithmed out of the YouTube search results. And they admit this. Understand, I'm not up here flapping my gums. Alex isn't flapping his gums. We don't sit here and try to virtue signal you into feeling sorry for us because we're under so much attack and so much censorship. No, it's a badge of honor that the corrupt establishment wants InfoWars shut down. That means we are on target. That means we are victorious. That means we are influential. That means we are inspiring people. But don't take my word for it. Let's go right to the horse's mouth. It's even reached our own government floor of Congress that it's time to censor InfoWars.
We confirm suspicions, Veritas. It's not a shock to you, but to get the employee at YouTube on tape admitting that they do it? I mean, you must be a threat if they call you out by name.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Just a short time ago, and I'm talking about when this meeting started, on Twitter, if you clicked on the hashtag NYC terrorist attack, which is, quote, trending, marked with a red button saying, quote, live, the top tweet links to an InfoWars story with the headline, Imam, I warned de Blasio about New York City of terror. He was too busy bashing Trump.
I don't know what happens in somebody's mind or how dark their heart must be to say things like that.
This is a real-time example of when we talk about this information being weaponized.
But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said,
your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope.
He still
calls Alex Jones and talks to him, and you know, the InfoWars.
InfoWars. Conspiracy theories.
How quickly can you act, and what's your responsibility to set the record straight so that the people who saw this know that it's fake news, and at least at some point in time, it can't keep spreading like some sort of virus through the legitimate world.
That's something we're thinking about all the time, because it's a bad user experience, and we don't want to be known as a platform for that.
The Russians ran an extensive information war campaign against my campaign to influence voters in the election. They did it through false news sites. They did it through these thousand agents. They did it through machine learning, which, you know, kept spewing out this stuff over and over again. And they began to have some of their allies within the internet world, like InfoWars, take out pieces and begin to say the most outrageous, outlandish, absurd lies you can imagine.
Google is being accused of hiding negative stories about Hillary and her campaign by changing its algorithm to bury stories like the Clinton body count story. That's according to website InfoWars.
You have RT, you have Sputnik, you have Rupley, and then I think you have them feeding other entities. InfoWars comes to mind, where those are echo chambers.
It's been widely reported that that company's been backed by the Kremlin, and they gave you 75,000 shares that you had to disclose when you
anything.
Went into the Obama administration.
Maybe you're looking at widely reported information from InfoWars.
No, I'm not.
But it is not
true. No, I'm not.
True.
This is Politico. This is the New York Times. This is the Wall Street Journal.
No, it's
That's
not.
What I'm looking-
if a Google user types in Clinton body, they get car repair shop results instead of a story that talks about a list of people tied to the Clintons who have died under mysterious circumstances over the last three decades. Now, the latest story was the death of DNC staffer Seth Rich, who was murdered last month in an apparent robbery. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has hinted that Rich was his source, but has made no further comments about the case. That murder, we should say, remains unsolved.
The Russians, in my opinion, and based on the intel and counterintel people I've talked to, could not have known how best to weaponize that information unless they had been guided.
All that stuff exists. You don't see it, you don't feel it if you're largely living in reality and in a mainstream media world. But it's undermining our democracy, and I think that the companies themselves, they've taken some steps. They have a lot of responsibility.
Companies like Facebook.
Like Facebook, Google, etc.
Right.
To do what they can essentially not enhance this.
How quickly can you act, and what's your responsibility to set the record straight?
The system self-corrected. That shouldn't be the first tweet you see anymore. It should be a USA article the last time I checked. USA Today. At lunch I did, yeah. And I also saw the system correct it.
That man's a threat to this country.
They didn't call out Fox News by name. They didn't call out anyone else by name. They said, when it comes to Alex Jones, we need people to scroll and manually find him and manually have to find that video. We're not going to allow that video, if it gets 10 million views, to be on the front of the so-called news carousel.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's
Alex Jones.
So there you go, folks. You've got it happening on the floor of Congress. You've got it happening from the mouth of Twitter, from the mouth of Facebook, from the mouth of YouTube, from the algorithms on all of those outlets, including Google. InfoWars must be stopped. InfoWars must be censored. And that's not just us. That's you. That's our audience. That's our influence. That's your influence. That's what must be stopped. You must be stopped. You must be censored. You are InfoWars. So they want you censored. They want you shut up. And who the hell does John Podesta think he is anyway? This guy is a Democrat campaign manager. Who the hell is John Podesta to tell us what news we can and can't read? Who the hell is John Podesta to tell us how the internet needs to be censored or how social media needs to be censored? Seriously, who is John Podesta to tell you that? Some Democrat, you know, campaign manager, lobbyist, you know, crook, Oh, John Podesta doesn't want the real news reported. John Podesta doesn't want InfoWars to exist because we report the real news. We report the news that other organizations don't want to touch. We report the news that might shed a light on John Podesta that he can't really handle. That's who John Podesta is. John Podesta has no authority over what you can or can't read on the internet, over what's real or what's fake. John Podesta is a rat scared for his own future because he's a crook and he knows that InfoWars has a massive audience and reports the truth. But folks, you just heard the video. They want us stopped. They want us censored. They want us shut down. They try to erase us off of their globalist platforms. So it's up to you to support us. And we make it worth your while, folks. We do not make this a chore for you. We do not make this like pulling teeth. We make it really easy to support us. InfoWarsStore.com. What do? We give you 50% off, like half of the store right now. You've got 50% off. You got 50% off some of our great supplements, Super Male and Super Female Vitality, Biome Defense Probiotic, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, Secret 12 Vitamin B12, Super Blue Fluoride Free Mouthwash. Everything I just mentioned is 50% off, plus all InfoWars apparel, every t-shirt, every hat, the patches, the tank tops, everything. All InfoWars apparel is 50% off. And on top of all those savings that we're already giving you, free shipping, folks. So we're not asking for an arm and a leg. We're not asking for an entire paycheck. We're not asking for much. But we know that it's you that power the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. You are our backbone. You are our lifeblood. And when you see them calling for censorship, know that that's a call to you to support us and launch us to the next level. And that's where we're going to be going together, folks. Tweet from Jack Posobiec today is really illustrative of exactly how television news works. From Jack Posobiec on Twitter today, the media has given more coverage to Roy Moore allegations based on one article than Senator Bob Menendez, who is currently on trial, really makes you think. This really cuts to the core here, folks. Because, again, Senator Bob Menendez is the one that's actually on trial, the one that actually has legal proceedings happening, the one who's had dozens of different allegations being waged against him, including having underage sex workers. But you notice the media blackout on the Bob Menendez trial. But Roy Moore has one person say, "J'accuse! J'accuse!" And the entire media jumps on it. That is a real illustration of how they approach conservatives and liberals differently and how television news picks and chooses the stories that they cover. All right. We've got some callers waiting. Before we get to your calls, I have to read this from the ACLU. You know I love bashing the ACLU. A piece of crap. I can't believe I haven't come out with a new with what the ACLU really stands for. It's not the American Civil Liberties Union. Okay, here we go. We got 10 minutes left. At War Room memes. At War Room memes. Come up with the best meme for the ACLU. It can be Anthony Romero. You can make what the ACLU really stands for. At War Room memes. Let's find this. Let's see what we can do in 8 minutes. At War Room memes. Who can come up with the best real, what does the ACLU stand for? I'm having it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't even think of the word of what that actually represents. So I'm just going to move forward. So at War Room Show, what does the ACLU really stand for? Because it's not the American Civil Liberties Union. We will retweet all of your responses at War Room Memes. So here's what the ACLU said. This is directly from Anthony Romero, the scum at the top. "Hi, Owen. Honestly, it's still hard to think about that moment 1 year ago. It's so hard. Some of us woke up to the news others couldn't sleep at all. But the realization that Donald Trump would be our next president shook many to their cores. Because he had telegraphed his future assaults on the Constitution. And then they cite zero examples. Since Trump's election, we've witnessed attacks on our values and our democracy that previously seemed unfathomable. Hard-won rights we believed inviolable in our current time are now under threat. And then again, provide zero examples. Trump's election set off a wave of cruel policies aimed at the most vulnerable among us. This I love. What does this actually mean here? See, I like to translate liberal speak here. Trump's election set off a wave of cruel policies aimed at the most vulnerable among us. Folks, that sentence right there shows the ACLU's entire agenda and their true colors. Are you with me? Can you translate the liberal logic? No, I'll do it for you. What are they really saying? Trump's election set off a wave of cruel policies aimed at the most vulnerable among us? No, aimed at the criminals among us. That's what they're actually saying. Those are the most vulnerable people in the Trump administration. The criminals in D.C., the illegal citizens, the terrorists. Those are the criminals that are the most vulnerable in the Trump regime. That's what they're saying. Seriously. I love getting these emails from the ACLU because it's so important to translate their language into what they're actually saying. Beyond just covering their just blatant lies and misinformation that they put out there. And then they say, you blocked the Muslim ban. No, you didn't. A, it wasn't a Muslim ban. B, those were judges. Those were judges that blocked the Muslim ban. No one in the ACLU, none of the people that get these emails had anything to do with it. You saved our health care. These people really don't understand what health care is, do they? They really have no. Do you understand that paying a bill, a health insurance bill, is not health care? Do you get that? Do you get that? No, you don't. And then Anthony Romero says, thank you for all we've accomplished this year and all we will accomplish together. You've accomplished nothing, jackass. Except, I guess you guys did scream at the sky helplessly, but Trump is still president. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Let's go to Wild in Wisconsin, who has been holding for a while now. Go ahead, Wild. All crying liberals unite. Yes, that's our first submission at the War Room. Go ahead, Wild.
It's time to start to tie this knot up. Owen, do you know the origin of the word vampire?
Does it have anything to do with Bigfoot?
No.
Okay, then no.
It's actually derived from the Serbian word vampire. Essentially a psychological warfare tactic to psych out the opposition to keep hidden the consumption of blood in children.
I think I've heard Alex cover that before. Okay, so what's your point?
Well, there's a lot of vampires around lately, you know.
Some of them actually look like vampires, too, with Podesta, their teeth.
Podesta, Hillary, with the teeth. You know, you don't have to be worried about the fangs.
Mm.
You know, the fear is essential. Without fear, there's no courage.
Hmm. So what, are you just trying to raise awareness that there's vampires among us, essentially?
Well, it's kind of connected more so to how the Clintons have been vampirically feeding on everybody.
Hmm.
And how it seems to me the stake just can't go into the heart of not only that cabal, but also other cabals running around causing a ruckus.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have to be patient. We have to give Trump and his administration 4 years, and we really have to keep praying. Even if you're not religious, it's about the collective consciousness altogether moving itself towards a greater agenda, towards a higher purpose. So even if you're not someone that, you know, doesn't believe in God or isn't religious, it's about the collective consciousness. It's about the power of thought. It's about the power of prayer. So we got to keep praying. Thank you for the call. Wild. There's a nice Hillary Clinton meme. What else do we have at the War Room memes? We had the, pull these up. All right, folks, we got a new Twitter account, at War Room Memes. This is where you send all of your memes and we retweet them. The real meaning of the ACLU, we've had the American Communist Luciferian Union. That's not bad. You've got the American Communist Lovers Union. I really like that one. All Crying Liberals Unite. That's a great one. Actual Cult Leaders United. That's not bad. Always Can Label You. That's a great one. Very accurate. Very, very accurate. So these are some of the submissions we're getting at War Room Memes towards what the ACLU really stands for. All right, we got time to squeeze one more in here. Let's go to John, who, John, did you witness the Boston Commons Scream at the Sky event last night?
Yes, I was. Unfortunately, it was more of a non-event.
Uh-huh, like Austin. So.
Yeah, there's supposed to be thousands of people showing up. There was another rally, but that was more of like a anti-Trump North Korea rally.
Oh, they were standing up for North Korea?
Yeah, they don't want to.
They were doing that in Austin on Saturday. These people are now aligning themselves with the most oppressive communist regime. Hey, I'm not sitting here saying I want war with North Korea. I'm just saying they are now aligning themselves with the most oppressive communist regimes on earth. They're that ignorant. Shocking.
Yeah, I even talked to the Boston police. They told me that there was no other events going on in the city, unfortunately. They said there was another rally being held by the JFK building a little bit down the street, but I checked that out. That was nothing. And I also went to Faneuil Hall. They were not there either, so they kind of just, like, you know, cucked out.
So another protest that wasn't. They're losing their numbers. They're losing their momentum. Let's squeeze in one more. I want to hear from Zach in Austin. Zach, you got 20 seconds. Nationwide outage of the internet. What you got?
Yeah, so it's crazy, man. On October 31st and November 1st, Spectrum Internet and Comcast, both, like, huge internet service providers in America, had nationwide outages.
No, actually, we got to go. You're actually 100% right. I have one of those providers, and I was told this is because of the merger and some complications with certain channel groups that they may or may not be providing. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.